is the state government's long-awaited review of the Liquor Control Act has been released today. Gareth Parker, the state political editor at the West Australian, is all over it, and he joins us. G'day, Gareth.
G'day, Paul. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Cobber. Just run us through the highlights.
It's a very weighty report, 270 pages. It's obviously been a long time in the making, 13 months since businessman John Atkins and his committee were charged with the responsibility in the terms of reference of reviewing the Liquor Control Act. There's 141 recommendations, so there's plenty there. I think that the one that will garner the most attention is a proposal to introduce what has become known as secondary supply rules. That is, it would become an offence to supply a juvenile with alcohol unless that person was a juvenile's parent or had the permission of the juvenile's parents or guardian. So I think that will be the one that will attract the most attention, but there's plenty of other things in there as well.
Certainly there's I've spoken to a woman called Samantha Menezes, who's been running a campaign about that after some problems that she had with her own children. So she'll be delighted that at least that's been picked up by the review.
That's true. And what we haven't got yet, Paul, is any indication of whether the government will pick up on these recommendations. What Terry Waldron, the Racing, Gaming and Liquor Minister, said today is that he'll go away and consider it, have another round of consultative meetings with industry and other stakeholders before considering the government's response and taking that to the Cabinet sometime mid-year with a view to getting legislation drafted in the spring session of the Parliament.
So but, the review also put a toe into Sunday trading?
Well, it did, but only a toenail, I think, maybe a little toenail. I think there was some hope from industry and perhaps sections of the drinking public that our 10 p.m. closing laws on Sundays might be relaxed. It was something that was advocated, you might recall, by the Fremantle Review back in 2005, but was ruled out by the former Labor government. This review doesn't even go that far. The only change it recommends on Sundays is that if there is a Monday public holiday following a Sunday, that pubs, small bars, taverns be given an automatic right to open until midnight when there's a Monday public holiday. But for most weeks, no change.
A lot of the argy-bargy during the submission period was around the police approach to the definition of drunkenness. I certainly had many debates between the police commissioner and Bradley Woods from the AHA about that. Have they attended to that issue?
They have made a specific recommendation around that issue, Paul, and that is that the existing definition of drunkenness remain as it is in the Act. So,
they've rebuffed the police commissioner there.
They have on that issue, yeah. I think Bradley Woods and the AHA will be unhappy about a lot of this report, but on that issue they had a win. The thing I think they're going to most arc up about, Paul, and I think this is going to we're going to hear a lot more about this. What the review says is that essentially we need to change the drinking culture in WA, and it argues that the best way to do that is more community education campaigns. Now, they actually specifically say that the way to do that is to fund them better, and the way to fund them better is to increase the licence fees that licensees pay. Now, that's going to be quite contentious, particularly a recommendation that says that they're painting it as risk-based, but what it effectively means is that larger, riskier venues would pay more for their annual licence fee than smaller venues, and that licensed premises over 200 square metres, which is not enormous, would actually pay a surcharge per square metre in addition to the base fee, and they're proposing $10. So you could probably think, Paul, and I'm sure your listeners can, of plenty of big pubs around the state. One that immediately comes to mind is the Roebuck Bay Hotel for me in Broome, which is an enormous venue, but not necessarily all that busy. But under this proposal, pubs over 200 square metres would pay an extra $10 in their licence fee per square metre. And the committee says that this recommendation has been made on the basis that the larger a licensed premises is in licensed area, the greater volume of liquor sold from those premises, and therefore the greater total level of harm it caused. So I think that's going to be quite contentious.
Yes, certainly the industry won't like any sort of approach that involves them paying more money.
Indeed, but I think that they will also contest the idea that a larger premises results in more harm, which is exactly, it's specifically what the committee report is saying. So, as I said, you know, there's no guarantees about which of these 141 recommendations the government will pick up on, but I think that is one that will be hotly contested by the AHA and others.
Yeah, look, I got very quickly into the report today. I mean, it took an age to download, which was a bit of an issue. But I also, it caught my attention too, that bit about changing the drinking culture in WA. I thought, boy, that's a big ask.
Well, it is a big ask, and it's something that we talk about, don't we, as the media? We talk about it on your program and other programs like it. Listeners ring up and call in and say exactly that. It's actually the number one recommendation in the whole report, that is, that the Liquor Minister implement ongoing extensive education campaigns targeting cultural change. Easier said than done, but I think the way that they are saying that these campaigns need to be need to get more funding and that funding needs to come from licensees is really the crux of this report.
Good on you. Thanks, Gareth.
Good on you, Paul.
Gareth Parker, State Political Editor at the West Australian newspaper. We'll hear from Bradley Woods at the AHA shortly. It's 23 minutes past five.
Drive, brought to you by John Hughes and Victoria Park, your car buying destination.
G'day, it's Basil Zemplis here. I'm back on 6PR for breakfast with someone you know and love. Here he is, Steve Mills.
What a ride it promises to be, Baz. We'll have many of our favourites you know and you love. Plus, we've got some great new additions, plus a few surprises coming your way.
In 2014, there's a new way to start your day. Breakfast with Steve Mills and Basil Zemplis starts this Monday morning from 5:30. Your city, your station. 882 6PR.
G'day, this is Paul Murray with a great new product from Anger Securities. But first, I'm obliged to tell you this. Government regulation applicable to all investments of this nature requires that certain disclosures are made to you. Anger Securities is not a bank, and there's a risk you could lose some or all of your money. It's strongly recommended that you read the PDS carefully to decide if the product is right for you. Okay, now I can tell you the Angus Prime Income Fund, a first mortgage managed investment scheme, is open for investors with a minimum $10,000 to invest and who want interest paid monthly. The application form and lots more is in the PDS, available at angussecurities.com or phone 1800 010 800. AFS licence number 232479.
Stage 2 of the Invita Apartments by Pete in Wellard will be a great place to live and an even greater investment opportunity. With one and two bedroom apartments from $290,000, a vibrant village centre with supermarket and a train station on the doorstep, Stage 2 just might sell as quickly as the first. Stage 1 already 95% sold. Stage 2 is coming soon. Register your interest at invitaapartments.com.au.
For super comfort 365 days a year, trust a quality Daikin air conditioning system from Supercool.
Summer, winter and any time in between. It's always the right time to enjoy climate comfort in your own home. With one of the world's most reliable and efficient ducted and split air conditioning systems from Daikin.
For super professional air conditioning design, supply and installation, contact your Daikin specialists at supercoolwa.com. That's S-U-P-A.
Thinking about subdividing your land or property and potentially unlocking hundreds of thousands of dollars? Call SubPro, Perth's most experienced subdivision team. With 35 years combined experience in the property market, SubPro can manage the whole process from start to finish. SubPro isn't affiliated with any builder, which gives you flexibility and freedom. Save yourself the headaches, stress and pitfalls and watch your wallet grow. See how SubPro can help. Book your free consultation now. See subpro.com.au.
Are you a road accident victim who's already made a claim for compensation? Come to Friedman, Lurie, Singh and D'Angelo for help with your existing personal injury or workers' compensation claim. Call Friedman, Lurie, Singh and D'Angelo now.
On 882 6PR, this is Drive with Paul Murray.
Gareth Parker from the West just gave us a snapshot, a very brief one, of the Liquor Control Act review that's become public today. Let's get the view of the Australian Hotels Association. Its chief executive is Bradley Woods. G'day, Bradley.
Hi, Paul. How are you this afternoon?
Very well, thank you. Gareth Parker says that you're likely to be upset at what appears to be a bit of a gouge going on in this review.
Look, I think the comment would be that we're disappointed that the review has not taken the opportunity to bring WA's hospitality and liquor laws up to date with what's expected in 2014 to modernise them. And at the same time, what it has done is it's very strongly listened to the views of the health lobby, the police and other wowser groups in terms of more restrictions, red tape, bureaucracy and control on hospitality and tourism businesses. And And it really has missed the boat in terms of what could have been a golden opportunity to reform and improve the prospects of the sector.
Well, the Commissioner, the Police Commissioner, didn't get his wishes in terms of redefining drunkenness.
No, look, there are a couple of shining positives out of this, and we accept that there's going to be good with the bad out of these types of reviews. And there was a ridiculous suggestion from the WA Police that the definition of drunk simply be, any effect of alcohol.
And well, whatever an officer thought was drunk, really,
correct.
Wasn't it?
Yeah. And that would just basically come down to an individual's subjective point of view at any time. And if you got a vexatious officer who had an issue with a person or a licensee, it was a nightmare.
What do you make out of the recommendation that people who are deemed to be drunk are able to stay on licensed premises provided they're not unruly and that they're no longer served? Because I think under the existing Act, once you'd determined that someone was drunk, you had to get them off the premises, didn't you?
We did. And look, this is one of, again, I suppose, a common sense outcome that has meant that instead of it being a prescribed requirement that we just eject someone because they're drunk, they are allowed to stay on the licensed premises. We are allowed to look after them or allow their friends to look after them. They can be given water and coffee and left to relax and just sort of, not force someone who's in a difficult situation out onto the street.
But the other way of saying that is it's just a recipe for trouble further down the track.
Potentially, but it also depends on what they've been affected by. Now, sometimes when people have taken a particular, let's call it a prescribed pharmaceutical product, and it's had an effect on them, and all of a sudden they become extremely lucid, or they become sleepy and they fall asleep, or whatever might happen as a result of the physiology there, there are circumstances where, under the current law, they're just meant to be tossed out onto the street, whereas this provision would actually allow it to be managed properly, to give them due care in the process.
Even though you say you're not particularly happy, Bradley, in terms of the potential that this review could have led to things like lockouts, which we've seen in other states, or even more prescriptive tightening of the hours, you've got to be happy that wasn't on the agenda.
It wasn't on the agenda from the start. The government didn't include it as part of the terms of reference. What the government did seek in the terms of reference was to try and get some balance between the interests of hospitality, the consumer, the tourism industry, and that of minimising harm or ill health because of alcohol consumption. What the review has missed in the process is really that effort, I think, to create a better level of balance by reducing and eliminating some of the overt restrictions. And in particular, what it's done is introduced new restrictions, a lot more reporting and red tape, a lot more compliance requirements, new assessments and impact studies that have got to be done by new licence applicants. It's given the right and the opportunity for the health lobby, the anti-alcohol movement, to continuously object and to raise complaints. And that's a concern because that's going to create a lot of work for lawyers and a lot of costs for the hospitality sector. And in turn, the consumers are going to be the ones that miss out there.
Gareth did mention, and I also read it with interest, the section of the Act which says there needs to be a change in the drinking culture in Western Australia. Do you accept that?
Oh, we'd certainly accept that we've got to have a change in drinking culture across the country, not just Western Australia. And that's about responsible consumption, and it's about a different approach to drinking. Drinking for enjoyment, not drinking to get drunk. That's very important.
Okay, good to talk to you. Thanks, Bradley.
Thanks, Paul. Cheers.
Bradley Woods, Chief Executive of the Australian Hotels Association. John Nicholls is back with us with news headlines. John.
Thank you, Paul. Good afternoon. There's been a sad end to a search for a missing man in the Kimberley region. A body